98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
Top stories of the day. We present them to you every day at 4 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo show. We call it the 4 o'clock reset. This is where you go to get caught up on everything, starting with the Arizona Diamondbacks. 11-game losing streak overall. A 20-game road losing streak. Both of those are on the line tonight. Game 2 of a 4-game series in San Francisco against the Giants. Alex Young gets the start against San Francisco. Troy Lovello joined us earlier.
We're in a fight, man. We're in the fight of our lives, every single one of us. And we don't know what it means to back down from anything. We've been competitors our whole life, and we got to find a way out of this. We got to find a way to have this thing turn around. And I want the players to say that they're tired of this and they're ready to go and play their best game today. And that's been our mindset every single day. It just hasn't happened for us. And the frustration is mounting. But I can assure you that we're doing everything we can on a daily basis to get this thing turned around.
Yeah, the frustration mounted a long time ago. It's tough. I mean, it's tough to be a D-back fan. I feel bad for everybody in that organization that puts their heart and soul into working there. And for everybody. I mean, you can't win with that roster. I mean, this isn't trying to figure anything out. You can't win many baseball games with that roster. The players aren't good enough.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not, well, we got to do this, we got to do that. No, it's not. The change in the hitting coach isn't that. How many games have they won since they changed the hitting coach?
None.
Not one. You know why? Because they're not good enough.
Yeah. You can't win.
Their players are not good enough. It's a talent thing. It's not a coaching thing. You got to have talent to win. There's not enough talent to win any consistent baseball games in major leagues.
No, but
it's a double-A team.
This is also, it shouldn't be historically this bad either, right? We're talking about 20 straight road losses. We're talking about...
You call up that roster and you tell me, out of the players that have been in a lot, who should be in the major leagues? They got three guys, and every day that they roll out a lineup out there with three or four guys that should be in a major league.
Two 11-game losing streaks in their last three. I mean, it shouldn't. I agree with you. It's not a well-built baseball team. There's no doubt.
When was the last time Zach Allen pitched?
It shouldn't be this bad.
Bumgarner.
It shouldn't be you haven't won a road game since April 25th. All right.
When you're bad, you're bad.
Yeah, not like this.
You think you're going to run into one every once in a while.
So you're saying it's predictively bad?
Yes.
That you knew on April 25th that they were not going to win another road game?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying.
I'm saying I'm not surprised that they lose this many games.
Okay, but this,
I'm not surprised. They're no good.
This many games in a row? I understand you feel
like they're going to run into one. Okay, if that's what you're saying.
You're talking about things that haven't been done since 1963. Since 1940, whatever.
I wasn't even a thought in my parents' eyes in 63.
We're talking about historically bad. Game 5 between the Nets and the Bucks. The only NBA game tonight.
Let's go, Bucks.
James Harden upgraded from out to questionable. Here's Joe Harris.
Yeah, I think it's positive. I don't think they would, throw that out there if, his health was still in question. So, that's the biggest thing at the end of the day. It's just that guys are healthy. And you don't ever want to put anybody in a compromised position because, the worst thing that could happen is come back too early and then you start back over from where you're at the beginning.
Yeah, hamstrings are tough. Harden, good luck, man, because all it takes is one little tweak and you're right back where you started. I don't know if he's ready to come back in this game. We will find out tonight in this crucial Game 5.
Listen, I think more than any team in the NBA, if you push the Nets, there's more chances for injury. Those guys are fragile. Kyrie, Harden, Durant. Make it go 7. Like, those guys are fragile. So, I think it hurts. The more games that they have to play, the harder it is on those bodies.
The Atlanta Hawks were down by as many as 18 points in their Game 4 matchup with the Sixers last night. Joel Embiid didn't make a shot in the second half.
Man.
Was 4 of 20 for the game. Philly and Atlanta now tied up 2 games apiece. So, every single series is now tied 2-2 while the Suns sit and watch and wait.
Oh, sit back, rest, wait, get treatment, scout, all of that stuff. I mean, Trae Young was great. Embiid had 21 rebounds, but you're right, he missed all those shots. We'll see. I mean, Young seemed to be a little bit hurt, too. I mean, he had a He had a cold start, and I know McMillan was worried about his shoulder, but he stayed in the game, and he made some big shots for them.
Also, just in real quick, Celtics star Jason Tatum has committed to playing for USA Basketball this summer
in
Tokyo.
So did Draymond Green and
Damian Lillard.
Yep. I committed as well.
So guys who are out of the postseason are committing.
I was wondering if those guys were going to be like, I want to play.
Training camp starts in early July. I don't think there's going to be any Suns there. There's no way. There's no way they're going to be able to turn it around that fast. There's no way we would want them to turn it around that fast.
I think that anybody's playing now is going to decline.
Yep.
I mean, all of these players that are committing are all guys who aren't playing right now. I think anybody that's playing right now is going to end up declining.
But our top story of the day today.
He gets to Leonard, does straight away. Leonard against O'Neal, driving to his left. Leonard to the rim. Oh! Kawhi Leonard! A major poster! He just put Derek Favors into the earth!
Put him into the earth.
Like he planted him.
Yeah.
Like a plant. Like an herb. Like a flower. Just planted him in the ground.
Like a fruit we can enjoy 6 months from now.
Like a tree that will one day blossom and sprout apples for us all to eat. Yes, he planted him.
Like a marijuana plant.
In the earth, like Johnny freaking Appleseed, man. Yeah. Like,
is that what the kids are saying?
What?
Planted him into the earth? Because isn't that Noah Eagle, who's like 24?
That is Noah Eagle, and I don't know if that's what the kids are saying. I just know I love it. It's spectacular.
Is that hip right now?
If you're kids, can you tweet us?
Yeah, if you're in your early 20s, is that when you get post, like people of our generation, we say posterized. Is that the new thing? Planted him in the earth? Has that replaced?
We would just say, psych. Psych. Now it's planted into the earth. I think I like planted into the earth better, to be honest with you.
I love planted
into the earth. He planted him into the earth.
Start using that for sure. Yeah.
Never to be seen again.
Yeah, and maybe it's just because they don't put people on posters anymore.
Yeah,
they don't make
that's
posters
not really
anymore.
Applicable.
Yeah,
which is so
they posterized him. What's a poster? Says the 22-year-old kid. I don't understand.
Posted him on social media? What do you mean?
But planted him in the earth? Yeah.
Crazy to not grow up with posters on your wall.
I know. Specifically like the 90s NBA posters.
Oh, I know, right?
All time greats.
Yeah. Well, the 90s, I mean, for us who a little older, I don't know who didn't have the Michael Jordan Jumpman poster in their room. I mean, I didn't even like the Chicago Bulls, and I had a Michael Jordan poster in my room. Everybody did.
Or the Barkley versus Godzilla one.
Legendary. The Barkley versus Godzilla.
I had Farrah and Olivia Newton-John, so I don't know. You know,
you didn't have any sports posters in your room at all?
I mean, I did. I can't remember a lot of them. I think there was a Reggie Jackson poster I may have had.
All right. Well, while we're...
But I kind of remember the Farrah and the Olivia Newton-John a little bit more. I might have looked at those a little bit more than I looked at Reggie Jackson.
I'm sure you did.
I'm sitting in my room. You got your choice. Okay. You got Farrah or you got Reggie.
What? Honestly, what goes on in your room with the door closed?
I'm just saying,
we can stop
Olivia
talking
Newton-John
about it
John or Reggie Jackson.
We can cease this conversation. What goes on in your room with the door closed? We're fine.
Yeah, we've been informed that that's just a Noah Eagle-ism. Postered or baptized, says John Steinmetz.
Baptized.
Baptized is a really good one.
Planted him in the earth. Baptized.
Buried
great.
Him. Sammy says nobody says planted into the earth.
What happened last night was a confirmation of what you in particular had suspected yesterday and what I was kind of slow to come around on. But by the end of the show yesterday, I was fully on board with the idea. You don't want the LA Clippers in the next round.
Nope.
You don't.
I have not wanted them from before the season even ended. I was telling them, I just don't want the Clippers. If you get them, you get them. But I think styles make fights is a line that I use, and I don't love that style. They have two dominant wing players that play great defense, great offense, and they're a load, man. And I know the Suns play good defense, but that's a tough matchup. Patrick Beverley comes in. He's giving him a lift, right? They went to Batum at the five. So, you know, they're not playing traditionally the way you normally would. I just, those two guys are very capable when they're on of dominating basketball games on both ends of the floor. I don't like the matchup. I'd rather have the Jazz.
Okay, I agree with you. In hindsight, I'm going to ask this question before we go to break.
Okay.
In hindsight, would you have traded a Utah win in last night's game, even though it probably would have meant a shorter series?
Man.
Would you have, if I can offer you that trade right now, Utah wins last night, but the extra rest the Suns could get in a series that probably is not going to go seven now, would you make that trade, or was last night ultimately a net positive for the Suns because it's making it more likely the series goes seven? Answer that question, and then we have to take a break.
I want the Jazz.
Okay. So you would have traded a win for the playing seven.
It's close because I think that the seven hurts both teams.
Okay.
But I fear the Clippers more than I fear the Jazz, and it's by a lot. By a lot.
Chris Paul has an opportunity to rewrite his legacy with this Suns playoff run. What would that legacy look like with a finals appearance or finals win? That's next. Burns and Gambo Show.
There's no other point guard like him. When he rides off into the sunset, it's not like, all right, well, this guy's going to be the new Chris Paul. This is it. The position's not played like this anymore. The new point guards that are going to come into the league are going to be emulating Dame Lillard. They're not going to be, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's just the reality of the situation. Point guards are going to come in, and they're going to be guys that shoot 10 to 12 threes a game, and they're going to be guys that need you to come out and set picks for them, and they're not going to be able to orchestrate an offense and have that kind of impact on other players like this. I think this is the last of a dying breed. I really do.
It was Bill Simmons on his podcast immediately after Sunday's win over the Denver Nuggets. A lot of love being thrown Chris Paul's way, and certainly you can understand why with that game four he had in that sweep against the Denver Nuggets. Bill Simmons saying that Chris Paul is the last of a dying breed, that there will never be another point guard like him, that all the point guards now are more Damian Lillard, Ja Morant, shoot first, you have to set screens for him, that they're not going to orchestrate an offense the way Chris Paul does. What do you think about that? Is Chris Paul the last of this type of point guard we'll ever see?
Probably not, because, you know, it's there's probably kids that are going to come up emulating Chris Paul. I want to be like Chris Paul. I mean, there's probably kids watching him right now. If I could hit that shot. I mean, his basketball players right now, I could hit that shot 15 feet out, 16 feet out. I can knock that down on the elbow. I mean, if that's, you know, and you look at it, you see the success he's having, you're like, boy, if that can get me in the league, I'll do that. I don't think he's the last, but, I mean, it's kind of like quarterbacks, right? We thought for a while we were going to go, oh, the pocket passer is changing, and now you've got to be the dual threat quarterback, and you got all these dual threat. There's always going to be room for pocket passers.
Always.
And there's always going to be room for dual threat quarterbacks.
It's the perfect example.
Yeah.
That's the perfect example, right?
I mean, I think so.
Is it ever going to be 100% dual threat quarterbacks? No, of course not. There will be, we might get to the day where it's 95% dual threat quarterbacks. There will always be a throwback pocket passer guy. There will be another Chris Paul, a next Chris Paul. I don't know if he's going to do it as well as Chris Paul has or for as long as Chris Paul, but to play with that style. Yeah, man, it's not. I like Bill Simmons a lot when it comes to his basketball takes. He's as sharp as a tack. I think he's 95% right on this one. I think in the margins, though, there will always be another guy like that. That style is not completely.
Well, how
dead.
Many kids come up and they can't shoot the ball really well from deep, but they, you know, do so many things well. They pass the ball well. They defend well. They see the court well. So, you know, you could work on that shot, but it's a lot easier if he could just hit, you know, if the guy could drive and hit layups, but also stop and work on your pull-up jumper. Stop and work on those short mid-range shots instead of the deep ball if you're not a good three-point shooter. So, I mean, I like what he's saying, because you look at Chris Paul and you do wonder that, man, is anybody going to play the game like him again? And you could question it. In the end, I think there will be guys that play like that, but probably not at that level.
Yeah, I always hesitate to say never. You know, oh, there's never going to be another. Never is strong, right? Never is forever. I never say never. I very rarely say never, because there's always a chance there's going to be somebody like him at some point. Chris Paul is really getting his moment in the spotlight right now, and deservedly so, as I mentioned. Michael Malone, after game four, the coach of the Nuggets, said he could be the greatest point guard of all time.
Chris Paul could arguably be the greatest point guard of all time.
There was a piece on Bright Side of the Sun this morning in which, again, the argument was made that Chris Paul, I mean, look, if he's the greatest point guard of all time, doesn't that logically make him the greatest point guard in the history of the Phoenix Suns? I mean, it's kind of, how can you be the greatest point guard of all time and not be the best point guard in the history of the Phoenix Suns?
You know, in the now, you know what people say. In the now, you just got swept. That guy hit every damn shot he took against you. And, you, man, my God, you know, you're watching and it's what you think. But, I mean, is he better than Magic Johnson? You know, it's, I just, That's a tough thing to say. Chris Paul said everybody was writing him off, and now all of a sudden you got a coach saying he's the best point guard that's ever played in the history of the league?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's the case. I don't. I think the best argument is just that he's one of the best, man. He's one of the best point guards we've ever seen. He's one of the best point guards that's ever played. That's the best way to do it. Now, when it gets to the best player of all time, I think we could have those discussions and have fun with them. Is it Michael Jordan? Is it LeBron James? Is it Kobe Bryant? Is it Oscar Robertson? Like, I like that discussion. But when you're talking about a group of players, I mean, there's nothing wrong with being part of the group. You know, like Mikal Bridges said, man, I'm happy to be in the conversation as one of the best defensive players, even though I wasn't, you know, named top, you know, top first or second team.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be in it. Chris Paul, you're in that conversation. You're in the conversation when people say best point guards, you're in that conversation of best point guards people have ever seen. Yeah. You're in that conversation. Doesn't matter if you're number one or two or five or ten. You're in that conversation of best point guards to ever play.
Here's another cut from Simmons on his podcast on Sunday night. This is kind of what we were teasing a second ago.
This is like one of the all-time legacy alters, even if they make the finals. Now it's like Chris, with all the other stuff he has, the only thing you could hold against him was, well, but all right, so why didn't he make a finals ever? Now if he makes the finals, not only is it one of the great old guy title runs, but I think he has to be in the top 20. I would have to put him there.
All time?
Yeah, I think he has to go in that. Like, he's at least in with Barkley and Malone and guys like that. He's with those dudes. He's with Isaiah. I think that would be the last piece for it.
If he gets to the finals, and you brought it up earlier, some of the best players in the history of the NBA to never win a championship, at least they got to.
Yeah, Ewing got there twice. Malone got there twice. Barkley got there once.
The one time, yeah.
I mean, so some of the best players that you consider never won it, those guys at least got there. And, you know, they didn't win, but they at least played for the championship. Chris Paul's never played for the championship. Look, you know, it's to each its own. You know, who's the best player that's never won a title to you? Or who are some of the best players? I mean, you could put Chris Paul in there. He's one of the best players that's never won a championship. I mean, I think it's if he could get to the finals that, you know, at least those other guys could say, you know, Barkley's on that show with Shaq all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and Shaq ribs him for never winning a championship, mm-hmm. right? But at least Barkley could say, man, I played for it. I was there. I know what it's like to be in that atmosphere. I know what it's like to play for a championship.
What is it that like, Shaq? What is it that Shaq calls it on the show? He's got like I've got a Q23 rating or something like that that allows him. I'm allowed to say things that other people aren't because I won a championship and you didn't. He's got a. I should know what it is before I open my mouth like that. But he's got some special saying that he says that basically exempts everybody else from saying everything on the show because he's the one who won the championship and the other guy didn't, you know, or Barkley at least didn't.
Right, Barkley didn't. Kenny Smith did. But Barkley could, I mean, but like he played in it. Like he played for a championship,
right.
You know? So he's been in that atmosphere. He went up against Michael Damn Jordan, you know, and played for a championship. So he, you know, he's got some credit for that.
Sure.
Paul's never played in a championship. He doesn't know what it's like to play in that, you know, go that far. He may get the chance this year.
Yeah, he might. I'd love to see, we'd all love to see him find out. As far as the best point guard in Suns history, I tell you, it was a compelling argument that I read this morning on Bright Side of the Sun, because basically the picture they painted was, yeah, Nash was great, but there were things he wasn't good at. KJ was great, but there were things he wasn't good at.
Yeah.
Kidd, same thing. Chris Paul, there isn't much he isn't good at. Defensively, he's not a liability. Three-point shooting, he's not a liability. From the line, creating, distributing, all of it. I mean, all the other great point guards in the history of the Suns did have kind of a soft spot that was a little bit of their weakness. Chris Paul, even though he's only been here 7 months, wouldn't appear really to have one.
Size?
Doesn't seem to harm him out on the floor, does it? Certainly not when he's defending, certainly not when he's shooting that little mid-range jump shot. It doesn't seem to bother him that he's shooting over taller
players. Yeah, he doesn't have that.
Seem to.
If you go in a battle with him, there's not that one thing you could pick on because he doesn't have a weakness.
Yeah, I mean,
he has no weakness.
He's not a man.
My wife said to me the other day when we were watching like one of the games, she goes, he doesn't really look like an athlete. I go, you know, because he's not muscular.
Somebody said that to me.
My wife said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I can't remember who. Somebody said, a friend, something said very similar to me. Like, he just doesn't really look like he'd be one of the best athletes in the.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have a super athletic
No, he doesn't have a super athletic body.
Yeah.
I mean, even when people were ragging on him for not dunking that ball, he went in for the layup instead of dunking it. Like, I'm sure he could have dunked it. But he's like, just looking at him, right? He doesn't look like he's not chiseled. He's not muscular. She said, I didn't really think about Chris Paul like that because he is. He's a great athlete.
They're on the verge of the wrong type of history. When will this come to an end for the Arizona Diamondbacks? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, last time we checked in on our Twitter poll questions of the day, we have two of them. They were both heavily lopsided. Like, yeah, not much has changed. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll questions of the day and see if the scales have been balanced somewhat.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
Your call, Ms. Gazelle, whichever one you'd like to start with.
Okay, let's start with the question that Gambo posed at the very top of the show, okay. Our secondary poll for today. He asked, who wins a game next? Will it be the Diamondbacks or will it be the Suns who we don't even know yet when exactly they'll be playing next. Who are you guys picking, D-backs or Suns?
All right, I'm looking at the D-backs schedule right now. They play 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 5 games until the Suns would play again if they play on Sunday. 7 games if the Suns don't play again until Tuesday.
Okay.
So you're saying there's a chance.
7 more Diamondback games.
So a week's worth of games.
I am saying I would be willing to bet a really, really nice lunch that the Arizona Diamondbacks will win a game before the Phoenix Suns will win a game.
I'm with you.
There's just too many chances for them to walk into. I know they're terrible. They're awful. They're the worst team in baseball. It's hard to watch. I grant you all of that. They're going to walk into one. It's baseball. You don't lose 162 games. You're gonna win 60 of them just by showing up. They'll win a game or two before the Suns play again. I'd bet a lunch on it. Absolutely.
Okay. I'll go with them winning a game too.
Okay, you guys are going with the D-backs, but 80% of our voters, 80% are going with the Suns.
It's gone
20% with the D-backs. It's gone down a few.
It was like an 83.
I think it was 83 at 2:30.
I mean, listen, you could do any poll out there right now and people are going to pick the Suns.
That might be true. Are you choosing your spouse or the Suns?
Exactly.
People voted for the Suns.
Your kids or the Suns. Your favorite pet or the Suns. Your freedom or the Suns. I mean, right? The Suns trump everything right now.
That's
so
true. Yeah, but also, I actually still kind of think that the Suns will win a game before the D-backs do.
That's I kind of think Gambo thinks that too. I think he just. I think he wants to say that. I just don't think he's saying it.
I don't think that's the case.
You think you're going to run into one eventually? That somebody's going to play poor? Like, they're running out there a double-A baseball team. Damn. A double-A to triple-A baseball team. Every night they're running out there to compete against major league teams.
No. All right, we're gonna talk about that team in a second. Okay. Let's go back to what was the original poll question. This was also very lopsided when we ran this out there.
Yes, we are looking ahead to the Western Conference Finals. Will it be the Jazz? Will it be the Clippers that the Suns face? And which star will be a bigger challenge or would, I guess, pose a bigger challenge for the Suns in the Western Conference Finals? Would it be Donovan Mitchell? A big challenge for the Suns or Kawhi Leonard?
Kawhi. Guy's a monster.
Yes, Kawhi.
Just a monster.
No question to me on that one.
And it's still lopsided on this one?
Very much so. 89% say Kawhi Leonard.
Okay, yep. And he's the biggest threat. Those are both of our poll questions. You can find them on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. Follow. Burns and Gambo. One word, @ Burns and Gambo. Please follow us there.
As Genesis sang, follow me, follow you, right? I mean, if they follow you, you'll follow back.
No.
Maybe.
No?
Okay.
Genesis does not apply here.
That would have been a short song for Phil Collins. It's a very been a Sarah version.
Follow me, follow you.
Very popular wedding song.
Here's the thing. Only because I tailor our feed. It's not so much like, we follow friends and people we like. It is very much like, here's all the people who cover the Cardinals. Here are all the people who cover the Suns, all the people who cover the D-backs, et cetera.
It's easier to kind of
It's a very pragmatic, tailored feed. Yes. No offense. But please still do follow us anyway.
Yeah. No offense.
Yeah.
Follow us.
It has nothing to do with you and everything to do with the fact that you don't
cover
one of the teams.
It's not you, it's me? Is this a conversation?
Great Genesis song for anybody that's ever heard. Have you ever heard that
no,
song?
No, I don't think
Never?
So.
Never? It was such a popular wedding song back in the day.
What is it called?
Follow me. By Genesis. Great song.
Yeah. Troy Lovello, earlier today, we're fighting to find a way out of this.
We're in a fight, man. We're in the fight of our lives, every single one of us. And
You know, we don't know what it means to back down from anything. We've been competitors our whole life, and we got to find a way out of this. We got to find a way to have this thing turn around. And I want the players to say that they're tired of this and they're ready to go and play their best game today. And that's been our mindset every single day. It just hasn't happened for us, and just the frustration is mounting. But I can assure you that we're doing everything we can on a daily basis to get this thing turned around.
11 straight games they've had, and this was a note from Nick Bocoro of AZ Central, two losing streaks of 11 or longer in the last 30 days. They have lost 25 of 27. They've lost 34 of 39. It's the worst 39-game stretch in team history, and I was lucky enough to be the post-game show host for the previous worst 39-game stretch in team history. That was back in 2004 when they lost 111 games, and by halfway through the season, I was hosting the Al Pedrique Show.
The Al Pedrique Show!
It's that bad.
It was your favorite.
And Troy Lovello said, we did not come to San Francisco to get swept.
We didn't come up here to San Francisco to get our asses kicked for 4 days. That's for darn sure. I know I didn't. I know the coach didn't. I know the players didn't. And we're going to find our way out of this. And when you're talking about major league records, go back to 1969, we got to find a way out of this. But it's not that we got to force things and panic and say, we got to do this. We got to just be ourselves. We've trained ourselves for these moments. We got to find a way out of this, and we got to go out and play a perfect game. And I want that to be everybody's responsibility tonight.
They are tied with the 1916 Philadelphia A's for the third longest road losing streak in baseball's modern era. They are two more road losses away from tying the record, owned by the 43 Philadelphia Athletics and the 63 New York Mets, both of whom
Casey Stengel
lost 22 games in a row on the road.
Wow.
Two more, and they match the all-time record.
All right, so let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Honestly, I want an honest opinion here, everybody.
Sure.
Do you want them to own that record?
No. No.
No?
No.
It feels like they deserve it.
Why would I want that?
Because it feels like they deserve it. Like, it does feel like I'm a fan. I want them to win, but it feels like, God, they've been so bad.
Be something to celebrate.
No, I'm just curious. I want them to win a damn baseball game. I don't want this streak to continue any longer. I can't stand hearing Steve Berth Hume after every year. And that's the 20th straight road loss, and we've tied this team and that team. We're just two away from the record. Like, it's just it's hard.
Sadness and it's just hard. It's hard. It's hard. Yeah.
It's, look, they.
I know.
Oh, those guys do a good job on the broadcast. They keep it fresh, Brendley and Berth Hume. But it's difficult. It's difficult to call a game when you can't, when they don't win. They just can't win baseball games. But no, I would hope that they can win one of these next two games. They got to win the next one, right? Because if they lose two in a row, they tie the record. Even tying it is you own part of that record.
They're two more losses away from tying.
So they got to win one of their next two games.
Yeah, they've got to win. Yes, they've got to win
one of their next two.
Yes.
To not be tied
to
for the record.
To not be tied for the record. Yeah. Yep. Troy Lovello is considering maybe changing things up when it comes to his rotation. He acknowledged they might very well use piggyback starters in the near future.
Yeah, I think so. I know a guy, right? And I think that guy's kind of leading some of those discussions in that area. So I don't want to tip our hand, but we're trying anything we possibly can to give ourselves the best chance to win a baseball game. And, you know, what that looks like is we're not going to change the DNA or the traditional way the game is played, but inside of the game you can manipulate some things and manipulate some innings and manipulate some of the pieces that you have, and then you kind of pick it up from there and you go out and you find yourself in a baseball game in the 7th or 8th inning, and then it kind of takes over its natural form. So yes, we have had those discussions. We're trying anything, but not that we're going to switch up the game plan or the idea of how to play a baseball game completely. We don't want to flip that on its ear. We want to go out there, be ourselves, and do our job.
Yeah, a tandem-type starter. So, you know, one guy starts and goes three, and then another guy follows him and goes three, and those two stay in tandem with each other throughout the course of the next several games, however many it takes, before you start getting guys in your rotation back. Because right now, your rotation is completely depleted. He says he's considering it. Absolutely.
Listen, why not try it? You know, the problem is, like, you bring John DePonteiro up, and he can't get anybody out. You just can't get anybody out, and you just, you know, who you turn to. And until you get these starters back, Widener and Gallen and Bumgarner, it's tough to compete with you're basically throwing out there your fifth, your sixth, your seventh, or your eighth best starters to go pitching in the major leagues. It's hard.
Yeah. In building their current team, the Phoenix Suns have obviously done a lot of things right. Are there lessons to be learned from the other local teams that they could take off of the Suns' success? A couple of interesting suggestions coming your way next on the Burns and Gambo Show. This just in, as they like to say. James Harden is a go for Game 5 tonight for the Brooklyn Nets. He's going to play.
Let's go, Milwaukee. Let's go, Bucks. I mean, listen, I don't know who's going to win the NBA champ. But if you said, okay, I'll tell you right now, okay, let's play this game. You can eliminate one team right now. Who do you eliminate?
Clippers.
Not the Nets? You could eliminate one. Jordan's laughing. What are you laughing at?
I just love Burnsy. You can sense the anguish he's going through. You can eliminate
one team.
The look on my face is like, ugh.
I'm eliminating the Nets. Because as much as I feel that the Clippers, the goal is to win the NBA championship, not to get there. And if I eliminate the Nets, I don't think that Philly or Milwaukee or Atlanta can beat the Suns. I don't think that they can.
All right. Consider me convinced.
Okay.
Color me convinced.
Now, you could say I'll take out the Clippers and I'll take my chances with the Nets because at least I feel like I get there.
You know,
I mean,
okay, do you know why instinctively I answered the question the way I did?
No.
I think the injury element for the Nets is that I kind of sense that James Harden is going to be dealing with this for the next month. And that ankle injury that Kyrie suffered on Sunday was nasty. I could barely look at it. His ankle twisted in such an unnatural way.
But if I'm the Nets, I could look at a 7-game series and be like, I just need you guys good for 4 games. Because when those guys are on, Kevin Durant is, I mean,
and here's
nothing against Kawhi Leonard and Paul, those guys are great. I mean, Kevin Durant is one of the best scorers we've ever seen.
He is, but I feel like Kevin Durant needs all-star assistants around him. I don't know if Kevin Durant can carry a franchise by himself. I don't know who can.
I don't know if there's anybody that
probably
can.
Probably not, but I think him especially, somebody who has gone out of his way to make sure he's always got like superstar talent around him no matter what. I just don't know if he's wired for it to be him and Joe Harris and then go win a title. And I just think the reason why I chose the Clippers, I think James Harden's going to be in and out the rest of the postseason. I think Kyrie Irving could be in and out the rest of the postseason.
So you're banking on the injury aspect.
That was my initial knee-jerk. I just don't know if the Nets are ever going to get right the rest of the postseason with how – I mean, think about how few games those three guys have played together since they got Harden. I think they've played, what, 9 or 10 games total?
See, that's my
regular season included. They just haven't played a lot together.
Gambo saying, I just need 4 good games from you. I don't think they can even guarantee 4 good games where everybody is healthy.
But he's right. If Gambo's right in the sense of Vegas and kind of the predictive models, if you're looking at the NBA championship, the team that's getting, as much love as the Suns in terms of the odds and the predictive stuff are the Brooklyn Nets.
That could be a good poll question, too. If you could eliminate one team right now.
That's a good question.
Would you eliminate the Jazz, the Clippers, the Nets, or the Bucks?
Bank that baby for tomorrow.
That's going in the drafts.
That baby for tomorrow. That's what I have to say about that.
Would more people take out the Clippers or the Nets?
We will find out tomorrow.
Yes, we will.
We will. Stay tuned to the Burns and Gambo Show.
It's a 24-hour
coming
tease.
Up and tomorrow. Exactly. It's a cliffhanger.
Coming up.
You know?
Would you eliminate the Nets?
We'll find out on tomorrow's. It's like a soap opera. Tomorrow on the Burns and Gambo Show. Da-da. Where are we going here? Oh, so you lost a bet, you won a bet to this guy. Remember Blake Allen Murphy? Did that name ring a bell to you?
$100 for a steakhouse.
Right? Yeah. What was the bet about? Do you remember?
He didn't think Monty Williams would last 3 years as coach of the Suns.
That's right. Okay. Blake Murphy is a writer over at revengeofthebirds.com, and he's very good Cardinal takes. The guy knows what he's talking about. Opinion, he writes, 5 ways the Arizona Cardinals can learn from the Suns' success. 5 ways the Arizona Cardinals can learn from the Suns' success.
Well, I'm sure you're going to give me them one through five, so let's start with one.
You want to start with five?
Let's start with five.
Number five. As cheesy as it sounds, they got spectacular new uniforms this season. Those Valley uniforms, everybody loves them.
I was in Just Sports over the weekend getting in the Chandler Mall, the Just Sports in the Chandler Mall. Man, that Valley stuff, like the Suns gear, there's so much Suns gear in Joe Sports. The Valley,
the Valley stuff.
Suns gear is hot.
It is hot. And I know the Cardinals have been loath to change their look. I don't think they've changed their uniform since
they
like 2007.
With it.
No,
right, didn't they tinker with
2007, I think, was the last time.
Was that the last time?
Yeah, other than adding the black, I think, okay. Which they did. They need a fresh coat of paint when it comes to their uniforms. I don't think it's ever going to happen, but they need a fresh coat of paint when it comes to their uniform.
You can't do what the NBA does, like the Valley and stuff like that.
No.
You just don't have that luxury to do that like the NFL does.
No, but it's been 13 years or whatever since you changed your main look. I think a fresh coat of paint would do them well. And you're right. You can't make it look like the Valley jerseys, but those have been a huge hit. Number four. At a veteran superstar caliber player who's one of the best players and leaders at his position.
They did that.
That's what their argument is, that they did that.
J.J. Watt.
Yep.
They got J.J. Watt. That's a veteran leader right there.
Number three, they did right by their young superstar who wears number one. They gave Devin Booker the max contract, and they'll give Kyler Murray as much money as Kyler Murray is probably going to be in line to make a year from now, right?
What have I been saying for a year now?
He's
going to get $40 million a year.
$40 million a year?
I said he's going to get $40 million a year. Let's see if I'm close.
Number two, hire an experienced head coach with grit and a knack for decision-making in close games.
They don't like Cliff? This is a big year for Cliff. This is a big year.
Monty's hire was a culture-shifting seismic event for the Phoenix Suns 2 years ago when they got him.
Was Bruce Arians the same thing here?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
That was a...
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't feel like Cliff has seismically changed the Arizona Cardinals. I think this is a big year for Cliff Kingsbury. And I hope Cliff Kingsbury is able to get them to the playoffs and prove that he truly is the coach for this team, because if not, you will have wasted 3 years of Kyler Murray's rookie year contract on a coach who's not going to be his coach a year from now. So I hope so. And the number
Cliff still did a lot. I mean, Cliff's been, you know, instrumental in developing Kyler.
Yes.
And so if Cliff leaves after 3 years, I still think that there was a lot that Kyler learned and gained from having Cliff as his coach.
Number one.
Yeah.
They moved on from GM Ryan McDonough to a GM of the year in waiting in James Jones.
I like Keim as a GM. I think he's done a good job. I like what he did this year especially. You know, going out and getting A.J. Green and J.J. Watt and Malcolm Butler and I think overall he's probably had one of his best off seasons. So we'll see. I think this is a big year for everybody. I mean, GM and coach, probably a big year to take that next step, to go from 3 wins to 5 wins to 8 wins to getting in the playoffs.
Their suggestion is Adrian Wilson as the guy who would be the general manager to take over for Steve Keim. I think there are two Steve Keims. There's the Steve Keim that trades well. And there's the Steve Keim who drafts so poorly. And it's sometimes it's just hard to know, you know, during free agent season, when it's time to make trades, that Steve Keim I like. When it's the Steve Keim who's drafting, and it's just been, I mean, half the reason why they've had to go out and get the free agents they've had to the last couple of years is because they haven't been able to draft very well at those positions over a number of years. He's two different guys, two different general managers, and the one who drafts that poorly is constantly putting the one who does a decent job in signing free agents and organizing trades have to work even harder to make up for the mistakes that are made in the draft. And at some point, I just don't know how much you can live with that dichotomy in that, you know, constantly having to make up for how poorly you draft through free agency and trades.
Listen, it's a real good feeling about this draft. The two cornerbacks they got, Zaven Collins, you know, could be an absolute stud. You got to see. I mean, you got to play it out. It looks like it's a really good draft. But now these guys got to go out there and they got to play and they got to perform.
We will find out when we come back. He's become the face of the organization. He's one of the rising stars in the NBA. What would life for the Suns look like if they hadn't drafted Devin Booker? That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show.